Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today I'll be joined by two reverts to the Catholic faith who are using their blog to draw fellow pilgrims to a deeper experience and understanding of God. Authors Jessica Mesman Griffith and Jonathan Ryan will discuss their lives' work and why they are now arranging a writer's conference to re-enchant the Catholic literary imagination. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. What exactly is a sick pilgrim and what does it have to do with helping people develop their Catholic faith? Well, Sick Pilgrim is actually a blog at patheos.com and I'm going to be joined by its co-founders today. Jessica Mesman Griffith is the Christopher Award-winning co-author of the book Love and Salt, A Spiritual Friendship Shared in Letters. And Jonathan Ryan is an author and editor whose first novel is a paranormal thriller called Three Gates of the Dead. Not only are they writing about their faith from their unique perspectives, but they're also putting together a writer's conference at Notre Dame called Trying to Say God, Reenchanting the Catholic Literary Imagination. To tell us more, I'm happy to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Jessica Mesman Griffith and Jonathan Ryan. Jessica, Jonathan, thanks so much for being here today.
Hey, Tony, thank you so much.
Now, the two of you started a Catholic blog on Patheos called Sick Pilgrim, and that's an interesting name. So tell me about the background, the meaning of that title, and what kind of message, what kind of blog is this that you want to, to get out that's a little bit different from others?
Well, there were kind of like two streams, and I'll let Jess tell her stream. I was a Presbyterian minister for 12 years, and the last 5 years I was at Ohio State, and I did a group called the Thomas Society, and we reached out to atheist agnostics, people on the edge of their faith. And in that time is when I also became a Catholic. And so, you know, after I stepped out of that role for a few years, that experience of ministering with people on the edge of faith and exploring Catholicism kind of stuck with me a little bit. And so when I met Jess, it seemed like the perfect time to start this blog, which is dedicated to that very idea of reaching out to people who are spiritually sick, who are struggling, who want to kind of hang on to the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like a good fit. So it's sort of like chocolate and peanut butter. I'll let peanut butter tell her story.
All right. Yeah, I think I've been writing in the Catholic world and spiritual writing and Christian publishing for, you know, about 10 years, 15 years maybe now. And I'd always felt a little bit like a misfit because my writing tended to be darker, more motivated by doubts and questions and struggle than the other things I was reading. I often ran into trouble with publishers and editors because it didn't fit the mold for the sorts of things that were selling well at the time or being perceived as what was needed by the readership. But at the same time, I would get wonderful responses from my friends who were not quite Catholic, but who had either been raised Catholic and were lapsed or who were attracted to the Catholic faith but couldn't really find their way in or had questions that they felt they couldn't get answered. And also my artist friends who are, by nature of being artists, attracted to mystery, and they just loved my style and the way that I talked about the faith, and it opened up a conversation with them that they felt they weren't able to have anywhere else. So all of those things were in some sense frustrating for me because I felt like there is an audience here for the kind of work I want to do and for the kind of work that I love. I just had this hunch, but I felt like I had to find it. And so when Jonathan came along, and we had a lot of things in common, a lot of interest in common, but we also had this in common, that we felt like we wanted to speak to an audience who wasn't being spoken to. And so this blog was a way to see if that thing actually existed. And as for the name Sick Pilgrim, it kind of started with my daughter's obsession with the pilgrims who came over on the Mayflower. She was around 4 years old, and we used to watch a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and she got captivated by this idea that people would be so willing to risk their lives and leave all their stuff and take this perilous journey to an unknown land in the name of faith. And she didn't really articulate it maybe that well. That's what it meant to me, right? Mostly what she wanted me to do was play Six Pilgrim with her because she loved this idea that they ate this bad food on the Mayflower and then would throw up over the side of the boat. So I started drawing, and I'm an all right writer, but I'm a terrible visual artist. So when she asked me to draw this Six Pilgrim for her, he just became this stick figure with X's for eyes because he was sick. and then his little, iconic pilgrim hat. But I just sort of fell in love with that image as a portrait of my own spiritual life. And I kind of took him as my mascot. And when I told Jonathan about that, he just laughed hysterically first. But then we realized it was kind of a good image for us because we're all pilgrims drifting towards God, whether we realize it or not, and that many of us are sick and broken and fallen, and we need healing and we need rest and we need companionship. And when we launched the blog, I don't think we realized how true that was going to turn out to be, but we just kind of threw up the soapbox and hoped some people would turn up, and the response has been amazing.
The other thread that comes into this, we both kind of became friends because we both have this interest in the weird and the supernatural. Mm-hmm. I'm a paranormal fiction novelist, and so, we started talking about all the stuff we love paranormally and sort of the weird aspects of that and how that fits into Catholicism as well. So that, that's the other aspect of Sick Pilgrim too, that adds an interesting vibe that doesn't necessarily always come to the forefront, especially lately, but it definitely underpins everything that we do.
Right, right.
Well, I think Tony would totally share a lot of our tastes in pop culture and paranormal fiction. And so he'll get that, because Tony and I have had really interesting conversations about Lost in the past, so that's just one example. But
Very good.
That we were picking up on religious themes and symbolism in pop culture and in high literature, too, but all around us, we were seeing threads that led us back to the church, and we were finding in the culture more inspiring things than we were finding in Catholic media.
Right.
And so we wanted to sort of pursue those things and show how they were revealing truths that are also revealed in the church.
Yeah.
And I think that that gives us a way to speak to a broader audience than just your typical Catholic blog. But also, Jonathan and I came together because we were in really difficult periods of our life. And that is another major theme of the blog, is that I was going through a major depression and Jonathan was going through a divorce, and we were both looking for solace and succor and inspiration in writing and in the church. It brought us together, and in that search to find those things, and then we share them with other people and found, there's a lot of people out there who are suffering and who are lonely and who are depressed and have diagnoses and life-threatening illnesses and terrible situations in their marriages. And those people need a place in the church. And we kept thinking of the great line about the church being the hospital for sinners.
Yeah.
And how that's often not reflected in our parish life.
Mm-hmm.
And so people go to the church looking for that, but can't find it. And we're hoping to sort of be a gateway for them, that where they can come and join this community and find companionship and find a little bit of healing, and then, send them on their way to the parish for their sacraments and for the deeper life they can find in their parish. But, kind of giving them that sense that they do have a community where they can be very honest about what they're struggling with and get feedback and instruction and just plain old friendship.
Yeah.
I think the other thing too is that, with Jess and I working together, we've kind of created this vibe that is, I always sit back and watch it and see how people respond to it. And it's a vibe that, appeals to people who are sick pilgrim, but that label sometimes gets, people have a certain mindset of what that means. But we've started to realize that, we had our own preconceived notions of the people that we would draw.
Mm-hmm.
And we're surprised that we've had those notions exploded. We've had supposedly, on the surface, people who might be good suburban Catholics, I guess is the best way to put it, just share some really deep spiritual struggles and just say we don't feel like we can share this in our parish. And, and now we feel like we can, we feel like we have a voice. So I don't, it's, you know, Justin and I certainly would consider ourselves artists, but it's been interesting. And we, you know, that's certainly maybe what we had thought initially the people would call them, but we've been shocked, I think, to put it mildly, at how this broad range of the church has started to pay attention that way.
Yeah, well, let me ask this, because I'm talking to Jessica Mesman Griffith and Jonathan Ryan. They run the blog Sick Pilgrim at Patheos, and I know one of the things that you guys do is you have an online community that prays together nightly on Facebook Live. So what is that experience like, and how have the two of you and the other people involved been spiritually enriched by it? Because I think it ties into what you've just been talking about.
It's been interesting. One of our people who helped develop a lot of things with the blog and other things, Elise, she came up with the idea to start doing it for Advent and have all of us kind of take turns leading it. And it's been this kind of amazing, beautiful, and sometimes hilarious, because one time, the two times I've done it, I've forgotten the words to the Our Father, because I got tripped up as I was reading the prayer requests sometimes as they come in. So, you know, it's been this holy and beautiful and humorous time all in one. It's been
to watch the ex-pastor fumble the Our Father.
It's like, if there's one thing you can't forget.
So terrible, like, oh, awful. Yeah.
No, it's been wonderful. And then, you know, another night I accidentally posted our private prayer request to my public Facebook page. So it's been an ongoing exercise in humility, but also, okay, so I want to back up a little bit, because even talking about the community, I mean, this is not something Jonathan and I expected, to have this outpouring of need for companionship from people. But so one of our contributors, Matt LaFleur, who's a really important part of Sick Pilgrim, came up with an idea to start an online community. And this is another way that this is growing in ways that we never expected. Mm-hmm. So we launched the online community. We had an influx of people that we just couldn't believe from all over the map. We have a high school student. We have a monk. We have a tattooed Krav Maga instructor. It's just such a diverse group of men and women. And we've all, in a very short period of time, developed a great rapport. And so then when Elise Erickson, who is also a member of our community and a writer and an artist and a musician, came up with this idea of an Advent daily prayer via Facebook Live, you know, we thought we'd do it once just as a lark, and then encourage people to pray every night. But the being able to see someone's face and hear their voice, and also, you know, the fact that it's done imperfectly by the laity, by the people who are struggling. You know, you see during the day we're posting our complaints and our doubts and our struggles, and then at night we're logging on and you see our faces as we pray. And I think it's been a really powerful experience for all of us. And so we've expanded it and invited all members of the community to contribute. And I think we'll continue to do it beyond Advent as a daily practice, because we've all come to love it so much. So it's just been another unexpected gift of this process that we never saw coming.
And it's actually a positive use of social media, which is not always the case, even among Catholics.
Right?
Very true. We try to deliberately avoid that. I mean, I think we had, you know, we deliberately, I mean, early on, sometimes Jess and I would get a little too fiery and passionate, and then we both have to be like, you know what, this is not what we're about. We're trying to present this positive. I mean, we still on our personal faith pages get passionate about stuff, but I think with Sick Pilgrim, we're like, you know what, everyone does this on social media. Let's do something different. Let's have a different vibe
definitely.
And a different thing.
That's another part of our frustration before we started it, is there seemed to be this need to declare or be declared as a certain kind of Catholic if you were going to have a social media presence. You were either a conservative Catholic or a traditional Catholic or a liberal Catholic. And we were so tired of that invective and those little boxes that we're getting shunted into. We really just want to be Catholic and try to be faithful even though life is hard and impossible. And so that is the space we wanted to be, as free from politics as we possibly could be, which has been very difficult in an election year. But at the same time, I think we did manage to create a space where people feel free to come and voice their concerns about those things without being judged or accused of being, you know, of being unfaithful to the church because of how they feel in either direction. So, but we are so, we are committed to that because I do think it's become a really divisive problem in Catholic media and has hurt any sense of our new evangelization that we had going.
Yeah.
Just to steal from C.S. Lewis, we're trying to be mere Catholics. That's our goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mere Catholics.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Jessica Mesman Griffith and Jonathan Ryan about their blog on Pathos.com called Sick Pilgrim. I just want to go back to your personal faith experiences because you're both, I believe, reverts to the Catholic Church. And I'm curious, how did your religious experiences outside of the church shape the way you believe or practice the faith now that you're back in the fold, so to speak?
I think for me, you know, I was a Catholic when I was a kid, and my parents left the church when I was in sixth grade. And so, you know, going to a Presbyterian college, becoming a Presbyterian minister, getting a master's divinity, you know, there was always that underlying strain. In our book that's coming out with Loyola Press next fall, we both actually discussed this very topic. And I think for me, especially in the last 5 years, working with atheists and agnostics, you know, I found a lot of the reading that I would do, either science or theology, Catholicism just made much more sense. Mm-hmm. But I think at the time of my life, you know, going through a divorce and being in that emotional space where I was just broken and distraught, it really came down to the Eucharist and the presence of Christ in the Eucharist that, you know, brought me back into the church. And I think that mysticism combined with this raw physicality, this Catholic realism, is what really influences how I practice faith now. It's what brought me in the first place, and it will sustain my faith going forward and in the things that we write at Sick Pilgrim, but also in my own personal faith practice. So, you know, I could certainly give you a lot of theological reasons for why I did what I did, but at the core, it was a matter of emotion and a matter of wanting to be home again and tired of wandering around and finding this space that's comfortable and at the same time makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
There's that pilgrim theme again,
yes,
wandering and looking for our home. We share a lot of those things in common. I mean, I grew up Catholic in New Orleans, and it's a very Catholic culture. I grew up with so much Catholic tradition, living the liturgical year as just a part of my life, but also a lot of the wonderful things about New Orleans that make it what it is, superstition and voodoo, and there's kind of a big mashup of Catholicism there with lots of other cultures and religions. So when my dad left the church when I was 13 and became a fundamentalist, you know, Pentecostal, evangelical, all the things. He became all the things. And that despised Catholicism in those forms, particularly in forms that seem superstitious or you know, in their eyes, almost satanic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the panoply of the saints and even the practicing of mortifications and all of these things that I had grown up doing as a matter of course, were suddenly perceived as evil and threatening to my soul. So that was pretty destructive for me as a teenager. And I left the faith for a long time, you know, not by my choice, and felt very homeless, also because my mother had died around the same time. So I lost my faith and my mother in tandem. And so that feeling of homelessness persisted for many, many years. And finally, you know, I could never really give up on Jesus, and thank God for that. So I never considered myself not a Christian, but I was always looking for a home. So I would go to churches and sort of like sneak in and sit in the back, and nothing ever felt right because I have a Catholic imagination and a Catholic soul. There's just no getting around it.
Yeah.
And so as I was doggedly searching for where I was going to fit in. I was also in an MFA program for creative writing. So I wasn't necessarily reading theological texts at all. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like all of these great works of literature that I was encountering and studying the history of memoir, which is what I do, all of these searches seem to echo my search for Christ. And these books are the books that led me back to the church. All these works of literature and all these works of art that are hungry for truth and hungry for beauty sent me back to the pews. And it wasn't until I went back to a Catholic church that I had this tremendous sigh of relief that, like, for better or worse, this is my home. Yeah. And this is, at the same time, the sort of pilgrim journey towards my eternal home. And that's another thing that I want to communicate on the blog. Like, we're all in this together. This church is our boat, and we're sailing somewhere, and we may all get sick on the way, but we can accompany each other on that journey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of the artists and the stuff you were reading leading you to the church, let me touch on one of the reasons you're on the show today is because of a writers' conference you're putting together at Notre Dame from June 22nd to 24th called Trying to Say God, Reenchanting the Catholic Literary Imagination. So how did the idea and theme for the conference come about?
This is one of those things that grew out of the blog and conversations with other writers and artists who have been visiting and contributing. And we sensed a real frustration with the ongoing discussion about the lack of high quality Catholic writing and literary writing and the loss of the Catholic imagination. And we all kind of just look at each other like, what do you mean? It's here. You know, we're trying, we're doing the work. But there isn't really,
exactly.
There's a lot of conferences devoted to discussing the old days and the old Catholic revivals and the lions of the Catholic literary world, like O'Connor and Merton and Walker Percy. I mean, but there isn't really something out there to encourage those who are in the trenches right now. And we see that need and we wanted to address it. And thankfully, the University of Notre Dame reached out to us and said, what can we do to help address that need? And so we've been planning this conference together to bring together both those current lions of the literary scene, like Mary Carr, who is our keynote speaker and a Catholic convert, but working writers who need inspiration and, again, community and need a place to go to encourage each other to continue to keep putting out the work that will be, you know, we hope, the next Catholic revival.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the other piece of this, too, that I think makes it unique is that, you know, as Jess said, there are lots of other Catholic conferences and people who, you know, talk about literature and imagination, whatever. But I think, you know, not only do we have these struggling writers, the future, but we also have made a deliberate effort to go after genre writers. I mean, we talked earlier about Dean Koontz. You know, I'm a paranormal fiction writer, so we wanted to bring in this other element of genre writers that sometimes gets ignored at some of these conferences, but also these genre writers are putting out amazing work. Another one of our keynotes is Tim Powers, who's like a sci-fi fantasy legend. He was one of the guys who helped start steampunk, the genre steampunk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like you got all these great Catholic writers in genre fiction that sometimes get ignored on the more literary
graphic novelists and even devotional writing, which I do for a living, I find is denigrated or sort of, you know, looked down upon by the higher literary circles. And I want a place where we can say, no, we want to make really high literary devotional writing that is beautiful and artistic, like Carol Hauslander, you know, like those great books that we all love reading from the, you know, 40s and 50s that Sheehan Ward published. We want to see a return to that instead of the treacly pap that we often get that is so disparaged by our literary peers. I mean, most poets and writers are not going to pick up your average devotional book. And I want to speak to those people and write devotional literature for our artists so that we can encourage them and keep them in the church and encourage them to create beauty that is thoroughly Catholic and thoroughly artistic and literary. So there's that angle too. But I do, what Jonathan says about addressing genre writing is so important. I do feel like we've fallen into this incredible snobbery in the Catholic world when it comes to the arts, and we are neglecting the arts of the people, the pop culture that we love. And so many of these people doing great work are Catholic, and we don't talk about them at our conferences, and we don't invite them to speak at our conferences. So, I mean, we want everyone. We want cookbook writers and mommy bloggers and devotional book writers.
Right.
We want to blow the door open.
So you want a big tent.
And include the literary folks in on the conversation, too. Like, this is not, okay, literary folks, you can't be here. It's
come and teach us and share your thoughts. Yes, exactly. We want to be inspired by the amazing work that you're doing and your giftedness, but we want everyone there. And we want to reach out beyond these academic parameters, where I feel like many of these conferences are for academics and working professors who have the funding that enables them to go to these sorts of events. And we are really looking to the struggling, you know, the struggling writer, the blogger who is, you know, just trying to like get some coins in her PayPal account. We want to bring her and get her to sit and listen to Mary Carr and be inspired. Yeah, which I just described, you know, pretty much everyone in the Catholic writing world.
Yeah.
So it's just really important for us to have that kind of like populist grassroots DIY vibe to this, that everyone feels welcome, but we're also getting really high quality programming.
I want to thank Jessica Mesman-Griffith and Jonathan Ryan for joining me today to talk about their blog Sick Pilgrim and to talk about their conference at Notre Dame called Trying to Say God. We are out of time, but we are going to keep talking and bring you the rest of our conversation next time on Christopher Close Up. Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
When it comes to what's going on in our personal relationships or the world around us, we often give in to the human tendencies to hear only what we want to hear, to make snap judgments, or to engage in wishful thinking. But God gave us the powers of intelligence, reason, and creativity so we can make up our minds after considering the whole truth. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Teach Yourself to Think More Clearly. It offers insights on thinking objectively before you act, taking a look at your own faults, learning from past mistakes, and more. To request your free copy of Teach Yourself to Think More Clearly, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.